Hello, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast. Today, we're lucky enough to have Danette and Graham in the Melbourne office using this mic to talk about creativity for non-creatives. Whether you're a creative or non-creative, this is a perfect podcast for you to how to bring it into the business world. Have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast. Today is a really exciting one to check out the video because it's going to look a little different than usual. First of all, we've got someone who's got some healed eyes. And then secondly, we've also got four people in one room sharing one mic. So that's exciting. We're all here in Melbourne, except for John and Alan, our two superstars, coming in via satellite link. So good to see them. Today, we're going to be talking about creativity for non-creatives. But before we get into that, I think it's time to go around and see how everyone's going. So I might start with the people that are in the room here. So, Danette, how are you going?
Awesome. We're about to start just over a week's worth of holiday going to Tasmania. So super excited. Can't wait. Cheers.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We've got Kanika here as well. How are you going?
I'm good. It's also really nice to see you, everyone. And I'm on the podcast after really long, and everyone in person, especially. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Awesome. Graham, how are you going? You're looking eye patch free.
I'm good, cheers. Yeah. Am I going on holiday too? Do I get
to
come?
Yes, you're going on holiday too.
Woohoo, I'm excited. The eye is healing very well, so patch free. Very excited about that.
Awesome. And now it's time to cross over to our correspondents. Let's jump over to John Scullin. How are you going, John?
Well, I'm not going on holiday, so I'm not so good. Still got to work this afternoon and back on Monday.
That's
no love. Yeah. Thanks for the support, Danette.
Awesome. Well, let's hope you have a good week anyway. And Alan, how are you going, mate?
I'm going great, thanks, Jez. And as Graham keeps pointing out, I live up on the Gold Coast, so I might go down to the beach this weekend just for the fun of it.
Awesome.
Thanks for not rubbing that in.
I wanted to give you the bird, but I thought that might be inappropriate.
Awesome. Well, it's good to see everyone's in good spirits. It's a good Friday. We've got people going on holidays. It's good to hear. Which I think opens us up for a great talk on creativity for non-creatives. We've all got open minds, all feeling relaxed and stuff. So I might start with question one. I might start here with you, Danette. What may make some people adverse to adding creativity to their business?
Okay. So I think sometimes some people just think they're not creative. So I remember hearing a study once where they said, if you think you're creative or you think you're not, then that's really going to determine the outcome. So I think for some people, they don't think they're creative. They don't see why creativity would work in their business. So they just go, oh, not interested. But from the opposite side, we can all use some creativity in our business because it helps us think differently. And with the world changing so rapidly, super important to be changing all the time.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I might stay in the room here, Graham. What may make someone adverse to adding creativity to their business?
Probably a couple of things. One I can think of is the perception that it's really hard. And the other is they're too busy.
Just to stay on that for a second, what by being too busy, how does that affect creativity?
The way our brain works best around creativity is we typically tend to be a lot more creative when we have more bandwidth. So when we are quiet, when we are in isolation, when we're not trying to do a million other things. So creativity and multitasking don't work well together generally.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for that. Kanika, are you going to jump in?
Sure.
Perfect. What may make someone adverse to adding creativity to their business?
I feel like if someone is really rigid in their thinking and really like it's my way or the highway kind of a mentality, or we've been doing this for so long and it's worked so far, so why change it? I think those would be the mentalities of people who would be opposed to creativity, or they associate creativity solely with like the arts. Like, why would you be creative in business? So So, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. John, I might throw it to you now. What may make someone adverse to adding creativity to their business?
There were two points that came to mind for me. One is that potentially doing something creative is something new, which people automatically get their roadblocks up and go, well, if it's new, it's hard, it's difficult. And that takes time and energy. And I just don't have that at the moment. It sort of leans on what Graham was saying. So change is difficult for a lot of people, and people don't necessarily like change. Everyone says, yeah, change is good, but yeah, not so much when it actually comes to it. So that's one thing. And the other thing was, people tend to employ like-minded people. So if you're employing like-minded people, then where's the diversity? Where's the difference? Where's that point of difference going to come from? Because, you know, I want people to think similar to what I am. Therefore, it's hard to get creative when everyone's thinking the same thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, John. Great, great answer. I like that as well. Alan, what may make someone adverse to adding creativity to their business?
What's standing out for me, Jez, listening to everybody, it's in the way we're thinking. And, you know, do we think about doing something different? Like John was saying, that's hard. And risk, I guess, is the word coming up for me. You know, do we consider it risky doing something different and that be a negative thing? Or is it risky just employing, like John said, the same people with the same thinking and not trying new things?
Yeah, you've actually kind of reminded me, Alan, I was listening to some Tony Robbins thing yesterday, and he was saying that I think some people prefer comfort, it's their main, or like, you know, consistency or something, that's their main sort of thing that they're looking for. So I think that can also kind of play into it if that's a main driver for you. But yeah, awesome. Thank you for all those answers. Great stuff so far. So thank you all. I think this is a fun, this next question is kind of a fun one in terms of maybe for people that aren't too familiar with creativity. What are some interesting ways you can add creativity to traditionally uncreative, in air quotes, companies? And I might start with you, Alan. We'll end up in the room here. So I'll kick it off with you. What are some more interesting ways you can add creativity to traditionally uncreative companies?
I like what you said about this. This is a fun question, Jez, because what came up for me is bring a bit of lighthearted playfulness, try new things on, and enjoy going somewhere different.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a great way to look at it. John, I'll throw it to you. What are some interesting ways you can add creativity to traditionally uncreative companies?
Again, a few points. One is the working from home. So, you know, you think of the public service, and because of COVID, everyone's had to now work from home. That's not so much in the office. That, to me, is a creative way to do things, and people can become creative. In certain companies, you give people a planning day or a day to themselves to become creative. What are the new things? What are the things you want to throw up as a team? What are the things you want to do differently? One of the things I think Magical Learning does really well is those planning days, but in a different location. So you're not in an office sitting at a desk and being told to think differently because, well, I think the way I think when I'm at work. So putting yourself into a different environment, to me, it helps that creativity. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And I think just before we come to the room on this question, I think it's a good idea to maybe talk about, since we have you both here, why do we do our planning days like we do? I mean, obviously, they're very successful. We always end up with some really great ideas. Some of them have been really, really good stuff, including this podcast is one of the things that came out of one of those planning days.
Yeah.
Why do we do planning days the way we do for people that are listening?
I suppose we learned them off a business mastermind we'd attended. Mm. And I suppose we love creativity. It's just sort of part of how you run a really, you know, a business that will navigate lots of change. So we've been in business nearly 24 years now. And, you know, that whole point about shake it up, go to a different place does create your brain going, oh, look at this, look at this. You know, so even as John was saying, the working from home, you can absolutely see that that makes us think differently from being in the office where we think the same sort of way. So, and for us, we do it quarterly because the world's changing. So we need to be changing with it. So that's sort of my perspective. Did you want to add anything?
No, not really. I think having a sort of geographically dispersed team also helps. So, you know, we've got people in Canberra, in Melbourne, Burra Creek, Gold Coast. By the way, Al, quarterly planning day is at your place next Tuesday. but it's a really good insight from Joel. And I'm not sure that it's always a conscious sort of choice on our part. But at the same time, we do know that that difference is hugely important for us.
Awesome. Well, I'll jump back in the question, but yeah, thanks for talking about that, John. That was a great insight. All right, well, Graham, I'll throw the question to you. What are some interesting ways you can add creativity to traditionally uncreative companies?
I think probably the first thing that came to mind was somebody in authority has to make it safe for people to risk, because the whole creative process is risky. Yeah. This might work, this might not work. So if I don't feel safe to be able to try something or even just think about doing something different, it's not going to happen. So I think one of the interesting ways to help people be more creative is people in authority or people with authority in the organization need to exercise that authority and create a safe space. And the other thing they need to do is make sure that people have some blocks of time where they're not expected to work. Because, again, being creative when you're trying to get all your work done doesn't work.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Kanika, I'll throw the same question to you. What are some interesting ways you can add creativity to traditionally uncreative companies? And I was also just wondering, you've also started working in a cool new thing with some kids, and they do some pretty interesting stuff. If maybe touch on that as well.
I was just going to say, in terms of like a large company, I think rebranding, problem solving as a concept, and like using that as a way to get people around you to exercise creativity, like finding creative ways to get out of a situation, even if it's just like a practice exercise or a practice problem, like giving people the opportunity, just be like, if there were no rules, how would you like, or if within certain bounds, how would you come up with like the most creative solution to get out of this? I feel like another way would be letting people just have like a day, like if there's a company, they're just like, based off everything you know off of this company and based off of things that we do, if you had to come up with a project for us, like it could be like an imaginary project, like your dream project, like no like boundaries, what do you see for this company, or like what do you see for yourself? Just be like, really, like don't like let your mind like inhibit you, just like give people space to do that and see how it turns out. I would say in context to the kids, I feel like the kids do a lot of the heavy lifting where the creativity is concerned, because they're all so uninhibited and like the real world hasn't gotten to them yet. So they're all just like, a flying wolf with like 8 eyes would do this. And I'm just like, this makes me miss being a child. And also I feel like, just like everyone around that I work with, we all share resources with creativity. We all share ideas. We all share ways in which we found certain creative things to help one another. So I think also sharing information is, I think, a good way to instill creativity within a company, because just because one person does it doesn't mean other people shouldn't have. Gatekeeping information is not helpful, essentially.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for that. And for people that don't know, Kanika works with kids in a writing studio, like helps kids develop writing stories. So that's a little bit of background for everybody. Danette, what are some interesting ways you can add creativity to traditionally uncreative companies?
So what Kanika was saying sparked a heap of ideas, as did everyone else. So I think coming together from time to time and just sharing those ideas can be really, really helpful. It also creates that bonding. So it's, rather than a competitive environment, it creates a more collaborative, which, to Graham's point about creating that safety, so people can go, oh, it's okay to think a little bit differently. And there's a whole stack of team bonding, team building exercises you can do. So there's a fun one, if you want to improve communication, and it shows how bad we are, you put two people back to back one person has a picture and they have to describe it to the other person who has a piece of paper and a pencil. Hilarious. And again, it builds that connection, but it also, because you'll hear people's story, they'll say, I'm no good at drawing. And it's like, okay, well, that's a story. Let's examine that. Let's look at what you came up with based on what was described, etc. So that can grow people. And to Kanika's point also, she used a lot of questions in there. And I think one of the ways we can do it really simply is to, you know, Google great creative questions and then start to ask those in the workplace. Mm. Because what we want to do is help people think outside the box, because the future of work is all about being innovative, being creative. So even if a historical thing organization went, no, we only do this, you have to create and you have to change. And I've been dealing with some really big corporates lately doing some finance business partnering courses. And when we're talking about the future of skills, it's things like strategic thinking, creativity, innovation, problem solving, communication. So this is something that every business really should be thinking about how we do it. And it can be as simple as have a jigsaw puzzle that everyone works on over lunch. It doesn't have to be anything too difficult.
Yeah.
Or one of the other things I thought, and I'm taking a while to answer this one, but you know, why don't we swap roles for a day? And so rather than one person having a, this is the way I do it, we rotate people through so we get some different insights and a bit of creativity. So yeah, I was a bit excited. I love it. About that.
Yeah. I'm glad. just one other thing I just wanted to touch on. I recently just started, well, I'm starting soon this job where I have to come up with some different like little games and stuff. And initially it was quite overwhelming, but I actually found that one thing that helped me was when parameters were set. They're like, people have to be here. Because I think sometimes it can be overwhelming to try and take in, to be like, how can I be creative? But giving yourself a very small set of parameters and then being creative within that space can sometimes make it a little easier.
And that's just sparked me again. Yeah. So one of the, you know, people might be wondering, well, Jez is talking about this other job. Kanika's talking about this other job. And it's like, pretty much all of us have other jobs because we know in our business, then it brings in different insights. So you don't have to just be employed in one role. So I think that's also really important.
Absolutely. Wow. All right. Well, thank you. That was a great, we got great answers across the board there. Great work, everybody. All right. Well, I'm going to jump into our final question. Let's start here. Let's go around the other way. Danette, what are some ways we can add a little more creativity to our work life?
I think do some fun team building activities. And the other one I would say is take the team to a place that is creative. So maybe an art gallery, maybe one of those, I can't think of the name of them, the escape rooms. So do some fun things that maybe just force us to think differently. Maybe bring a creative in to speak to you about their process and how they think. So.
Awesome.
That'll do for mine.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Graham, I'll throw the same question to you. What are some ways we can add a little more creativity to our work life?
I think just get focused on adding some creativity to your life, full stop, because the lines, certainly since the pandemic, have been so blurred between home and work. So, you know, some of the fun things, we had a lady in a leadership program we ran on the Isle of Man years ago who decided that every time she went grocery shopping, she was going to buy two ingredients that she'd never cooked with before. And then she would find a recipe that she could use those ingredients in. If you commute to work, obviously not just walking down the hallway, but if you still commute to an office or to a workplace, deliberately choose to go a different way home. Read a different book, have a conversation with a different person, watch a different movie. So just try difference, because the more we can engage our brain around the idea of doing things differently, the easier it is to start believing that we can be creative.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Graham. That was excellent. Do you want to go on this one? Yeah, okay, cool. John, I'll jump to you. What are some ways we can add a little more creativity to our work life?
Well, Graham stole one of my answers, and it's do things differently. To me, it's exactly the same. People drive to work and they go exactly the same way every time. You get a coffee, you go to the same coffee shop and get the coffee. You know, you order the same coffee, you order the same this out of there. Do something different. Yeah. Walk up the stairs rather than lift. Choose some other stairs somewhere else. Break that up. Dress differently. You know, break up the what is normal for you and do something different. And watch how people respond to that as well, because they'll respond differently to you. Kanika's point earlier, ask questions. You know, and when you're talking, you're saying stuff you already know, so you're not learning. When you're asking questions, you actually might get something good coming in. So ask a heap of questions. Going back to your second question about making a workplace different, one of the things I think needs to be there is the feedback. So if you give your staff the opportunity to be creative, get feedback and give them feedback as to the outcomes of all of this. So don't just go, yeah, thanks very much. Those are great ideas. I'm going to take those away. And then they hear nothing from it, because people need that feedback. They need to hear what is next or what's been done with these things. So there are a couple of points. Thanks, Jess.
Yeah, thank you so much, John. Amazing stuff. Thank you. And I like that you're tying it all together. That's just great stuff. So thank you, John.
That'd be good for something.
That's it. Al, I'll throw it to you now. What are some ways that we can add a little more creativity to our work life?
Yeah, Jess, I'm thinking it starts with our thinking. And I like what Kanika said before about children. And I guess modelling is something that I find works quite well. And bringing our childlike curiosity and wonder to things. And I guess the activity that I saw recently was, instead of our logical brain jumping in on somebody else's idea and seeing the 90% of why it won't work, it was to pick the 10% that will work and build on that. Because sometimes just, you know, our crazy idea will spark something in somebody else's mind that lands on something new that does work.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. I love that insight, Alan. Thank you very much. Can I get you doing do, or we can just
go back.
Easy, sorry, easy. That's all right. All good. Just for everybody listening, Kanika's also doing some social media stuff while we're doing this. So we've got a bunch of media going on here. It's very exciting.
It's a creative process.
It is. awesome. Well, thank you all so much for your answers. Got some really great stuff, and I feel like we got a bunch of different answers from a bunch of different places. And you know, it's been really, really good. So thank you all so much. We might just go around and wrap it up now. Just, Alan, some final thoughts on creativity for non-creatives.
The big standout for me today, Jess, was to think differently and do differently and embrace the uncertainty and see where that goes.
Yeah, I think that's a great takeaway. Thank you for that, Alan. And thanks for being on today. Always good to see you. John, John, I'll throw to you. What are some final thoughts on creativity for non-creatives?
So I think for me, it's Danette's comment about putting people back to back, and someone says, I'm not very good at drawing. Well, you're shutting yourself down. So change your language and try. What's the worst that's going to happen? It doesn't work. Well, okay, move to the next thing, but try.
Absolutely. I love that. I think that in that same Tony Robbins thing I was listening to yesterday, it's like, I think he said basically like people that aren't, don't try, don't fail, and people that don't fail, don't succeed, or something along those lines, you know, something along those lines. But yeah, you have to fail to succeed. So yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for that, John. I'll throw it to Graham. What are some final thoughts on creativity for non-creatives?
This goes back to something that Al mentioned right at the start, and it's around, you know, if you think you can't be creative, then you can't. For a long time, we believed the whole left brain, right brain thing. And so if you were one, you couldn't be this. And if you were the other, you couldn't be that. And if you were stronger in the wrong hemisphere, then you couldn't be creative. But what we know from more recent neuroscience is that both hemispheres light up when we're creative. So if your brain is functioning normally most of the time, you have the capacity. Just got to use it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's a great insight for everybody out there that's feeling like they don't have the right brain for it.
Yeah.
It's just your attitude. Love it. Kanika, final thoughts on creativity for non-creatives?
I would say creativity is, and it's intangible as like, it's like more of a feeling. It's more of like a pattern and like a process. I would say for me, when I'm trying to like spark some creativity in my brain specifically, I consume art. Like whether it's watching something, whether it's reading something, whether it's listening to something, it can be something completely new. It can be something that I know has tickled a part of my brain before, and I'm sure it will light up something else. So like read a book, watch a movie, listen to an album, and try and like only do that while you're doing it. And I feel like that specifically is a process for me. And another thing with creativity, I will also say, is stop, like, maybe like don't think of it as just like one kind of particular like way to apply it. Like don't only think it means art, or it means like making something like pretty. Like try and think of how can you do anything in like a creative way, whether even you're cooking, like it makes more sense to do something like this and like this, and you'll have like a more efficient cook. Like creativity can be applied to pretty much anything. So I guess rebrand it for what you need for yourself with creativity.
Awesome. Awesome. And Danette, final thoughts on creativity for non-creatives.
So I think a big one is you can't fail. So if you consider that art can be different things for different people. So creativity is literally have a go. If it doesn't work out how you wanted it to, you can ask yourself, well, what's the possibility here with this? How creative can I get with this? So those questions are really important. Mm-hmm. I think also just in teams, you could have a weekly theme around something creative, and everyone has to contribute something around whether it's an object or a word or something like that. So I think make it fun and make it part of the culture.
Yeah, fantastic. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much. I feel like I've gotten so much. This was such a new experience to host it live and on Zoom. So I feel like I'm going to need to go back and really take everything in. But that was it's been so fun to try this in the room. I want to thank everybody for being on today. It's been a great episode. And I want to thank everybody that's continued to listen and watch as well on Spotify. You can always do that. Next week, we're going to be doing a re-release. We've got, as we've just heard, we've got a week off for these two. So we're going to have a re-release of one of our best episodes. So you are going to get a hand-selected, beautiful piece. It's a week off for all of us.
Shiny.
But yeah, I just want to thank everybody for being on. It's been another great episode, and I want to thank everybody. So and everyone stay magical, and thank you.
Yeah. Nice. Well, thanks, Jess. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks, John. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, everyone. See you. Have a great weekend. Bye.